Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. We are dealing with Blog Talk technical issues again as they start out.
What a moment you've brought me to self.
Hallelujah. Just had to go in and get it all right again. But that's all right, because we are not worrying about Blog Talk being 4 minutes off. We are going to do what we do for God. So we are on, and we are praising his name. This morning, we are in the Proverbs, chapter, the 145th Psalm, starting at verse 17 through the 146th Psalm, ending at the 147th Psalm, ending at verse 6. And we are also in the 30th Proverb, starting at verse 16, ending at verse 19. And our Revelations, we are in Revelations chapter 12. Title this morning is coming out of the 145th Psalm. And it is verses 17 through 21. And our title is, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works." And we're going to get started because we have a lot of word this morning. And in our 145th Psalm, starting at verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways." That's our title. "Gracious in all his works." 145th Psalm, verse 17. It's where our title is coming from. If you are on our conference call, make sure that you please mute your phone because it will echo on our line. So we are greatly pleased to be with all of you this morning. Greatly pleased to have a word from God, for he is so very, very good. And it says this in verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name." Forever. All flesh shall bless his holy name forever. Hallelujah. We are flesh, and we bless the name of the Lord. Chapter 146, verses 1 through 10. And I loved it because this actually was our title for last week. And it says, "Praise the Lord." Can you say, "Praise the Lord," saints? "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help." We can't put our trust in people. We put our trust in God. In God. And then it goes on to tell us, do not put your trust, I say it one more time, in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes judgment for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoner. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widows. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations, praise the Lord. Can we do it? Can we praise the Lord? Giving God his due. Praise the Lord. But it is good to sing praises to our God. 147 Psalm, verse 1. But it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. It is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He called them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. The Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagle will eat it. Whew. Lord, take your side. Being wrong, treating folks wrong. God is watching everything. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 through 19. And it says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a virgin. Solomon was deep. That's all I can say. Solomon came up with himself. And all we can say is, all right. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go into our revelation word this morning. And all I can say is, it's a good word. It's making us think, understand that our time on this earth is limited. And we have to make the best of it. God is wanting us to walk in righteousness. God is wanting us to understand that he is in charge of everything. And when he says that our time is short, revelation is going to happen. Why? Because God said so. And we have to believe it. We have to understand it, that the Lord is righteous. God is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. God loves us like that, and he wants the best for us. He wants us to walk in righteousness. The show will not be long today. If there are those that are on the conference call that would like to speak, lines will be open after we finish Revelation. You can unmute your phone. That's all we ask is for those on our conference call to mute your phone when you come on. And when you are ready, you unmute your phone and just say amen. If you are on Blog Talk Radio, you need to push the number 1 and your line will be open. And as we go into this word of Revelation chapter 12, please join me there. And it says this, Now a great sign appears in heaven. A woman clothed with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven plural, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth held the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the blood which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we will do all of our life lessons and life questions after the scriptures. Revelation chapter 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a great tall beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. And he was given authority
to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in earth. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast could both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And if anybody asks you, well, where is that number in the Bible? Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, tells us how it will happen. It tells us how it will happen. These things have not happened yet. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 14, then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpers playing the harp. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, but they were virgins. Did y'all catch that? You hear folks talking about the 144,000 and that their congregation, their denomination is the only one. But the caveat is this. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, but they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his head, he himself shall also of the wine of the wrath of our fornication. But then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and the works follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, trust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he also sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had a sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for our grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vines of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. This is no joke. Revelation is serious business. Serious. God is not playing. This is coming. This is going to happen. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Home. I don't want to be here when this happens. I don't want to be here. And I pray you don't want to be here either. As we go back to our 145th Psalm, starting at verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. We got to trust God. We've got to trust God. He is gracious. He is loving. He is kind, but he don't play. And as we go into Revelation, as we finish our songs, life lessons, if there are any, I don't believe there are this today, but I'm going to double check to be on the safe side. I believe everything we're doing is in Revelations this morning as far as life lessons and questions. But before we go into Revelations, I want to go back into our Old Testament word from Friday in Habakkuk. And it dealt with disappointment. And it said, disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. And, you know, let me God, thank you, Lord. God said not to do that until after we finish Revelation, because there's a point to it. Thank you, Lord. And it says in Revelation, our first book that we were reading, Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11, because we live in a fallen world, Dr. Kyle Stanley tells us, all of us will face times of suffering and heartache. Sometimes God keeps us from certain tests and trials, but at other times he allows them, knowing that the testing strengthens and protects our faith in him. God wants us to have an unshakable faith, and if trials, tests, and suffering are what it takes for us to have it, then he'll allow them. Even the strongest faith in God does not mean we will be spared life trials. Daniel's faith was severely tested, but he emerged victorious. Daniel refused to compromise his love for God by worshiping King Darius. He also understood that his obedience to God would jeopardize his life. Daniel shows the path of other faithful believers who did not love their lives to the death. Like this earthly life, a death will be a choice. But think about this. Eternal life. Death from this world, eternal life. When we choose God, we live eternally with God. But when we choose just this life, we miss out on eternal life. And it tells us this. It says, many of God's greatest saints, those in the Bible and others throughout Christian history, face various degrees of suffering. All of them, however, developed an unshakable faith that provided the inner strength they needed to face every difficulty with hope and blessed assurance. As our elders say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born in his. Do you have an unshakable faith? Are you in an extreme place of testing? If so, do not be afraid. God has planned this very moment, and he will teach you how to trust him perfectly. A person with an unshakable faith never judges God's faithfulness by his own or her feelings. Instead, he or she believes and trusts God through many seasons of life, knowing that in the end, God's plan will emerge as perfect. At times in your walk with God, he may require you to do something that from a human perspective seems unreasonable. From his viewpoint, however, it will be in perfect alignment with his word and will turn out for your ultimate benefit. His goal is that you acquire a perfect faith, but he knows your weaknesses. Open your heart to his love. Give him the opportunity to provide his faithfulness. That is what Daniel did. And God made it possible for him to walk away from the lion's den with a song to on his lips. What is your level of faith in God? Do you believe that he will do exactly what he has promised? Are you convinced that he has already moved to heaven and earth for you? And all you have to do is move toward his blessing. Are you moving toward the mark of the high calling? Are you moving for the blessing that God has for you. But for God has for you is for you. Can't nobody take your irrevocable goal blessing. And I know that me and that word had a moment. It's irrevocable. Hallelujah. Nobody can take your irrevocable blessing. Don't give your blessings away. Revelation 12 and 11. They've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Highlightable. That's a memorization word. They overcome him. The devil, the sneaky, dirty, slimy snake will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We cannot win a battle against Satan with bombs and swords and bullets. Our invincible weapons are the death of Christ and the word of God. These weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. We are his work. Revelation 12 and 17, he went to make war with the rest of our offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan has a particular hatred for Christians who obey God and who work to represent Jesus to the best of their ability. But they are the only ones who really make a difference for good in the world. We wonder why are my finances wrong? Why are, you know, people in my family having health issues? What's going on, God? Why? Because you are his, and the enemy gets mad at you. He gets mad. He gets real mad. Sudden, you're doing just fine, and all of a sudden, your back starts hurting when you're working for God. You've been doing just fine. All of a sudden, you're sick, and your knees hurt, or you have to have surgery, or you have to have this, or you have to have that. And you're like, but Lord, I got work to do. And all you do is pray. I'm going to tell you, all y'all know I've dealt with the A word called Arthur. You know, not a great boyfriend, I tell you that. Because Arthur will bring you pain. Hurt your knees, hurt your joints, hurt your back, hurt your hips, hurt everything. But I have found lately, I have been giving it all to God. Lord, I give this pain in my knee to you. Lord, I give this pain in my sciatic to you. Lord, I give everything to you. And I'm going to tell you, I have not had a lot of pain lately. It's as if, I don't know what's going on. I know it's safe. Haven't had anything. Get up in the morning, able to get up with a pep in my step and a joy in my heart. Why? Because God is watching over me. Because I pray and I lift up the name of Jesus and I believe it. 121st Psalm, there's a lifting on my hands. There's a lifting on my eyes beyond the fears from which my help comes from. My help is coming from God, and I know that with every fiber of my being. And I know now, folks are like, oh, you got carpal tunnel. No, I got God. When I feel tingling in my right hand, I have found out that it is God talking to me. Would have overslept this morning. But all of a sudden, my hands started to tingle. You know, and then I was like, oh, Lord, I'm not ready. And then the tingling got a little bit more intense. But once I jumped out of that bed, gone. But when I get a word that I know that God is wanting me to bring forth, all of a sudden the tingle comes back. And I'm like, okay, God, I heard you. I heard you. He speaks to me through the tingle in my right hand. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm good. And I hear you. And then when we go to Revelation 13 and 2, it says the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The Antichrist, you need to listen to this. The beast, the man of sin, that's whatever we call this common figure, he will get his power and authority directly from the devil. That means he will be cunning as well as evil. Take that to the bank. In the age of YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter X, all of these things, Facebook, this beast is going to have all kind of misinformation out there. Lies, deceit. And we have to be vigilant because the spirit of Antichrist is here. That demonic man of sin, son of perdition, those spirits are already here. Hatefulness, even hatefulness coming out of pulpit. Not of God. We've got to understand that God is starting to reveal some stuff. What's done in the dark is into light, and we better be prepared. All your great leaders that you just fall over for, God's going to show you some stuff. Get ready. Don't get offended. Just be prepared. Because the Spirit is here. That spirit of greed, that spirit of deceit, that spirit of pride, that spirit of lust and decadence, that spirit of Antichrist is here. Revelation 13 and 5, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. No horror of history will compare with the Antichrist and the reign of terror. But the God of heaven will strictly control even the length of his rule. God remains sovereign even when it appears he doesn't. God is in charge. Understand it. Believe it. And know it. God is in charge. No spirit from hell can take the place of God. He is in charge of everything. And when we believe it and we know it and we trust in it, we don't worry. We pray. Revelation 14 and 7. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Modern believers do not often connect divine judgment with glory, but the Bible does. In Exodus 14 and 4, 17, 18, Ezekiel 28, 22, 39 and 21, John 8 and 50. God reveals his majesty not only in loving acts of mercy, but also in holy acts of ice, of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I ain't got to go after Sister Susie because she stepped on my foot on purpose and pushed me out of the way so I couldn't get near the pastor when I needed to talk to my pastor. But she's going to push me out of the way and say, not today. You always coming up to this altar. You need to go sit down. And stepped on my foot. And I'm like, now you're supposed to be a woman of God. And you're doing all of that. Okay. I'm not going to turn around and slap you silly in the house of God. I'm just going to look at you and say, God knows my heart. And I'm going to sit down. And I'm going to let God deal with you, Sister Susie. And then when folks start hearing that Sister Susie's not feeling good, Sister Susie's in the hospital, Sister Susie's got this, that, and the other. The word of God tells us that's not the anointing. You don't know that one that you were blocking getting to the pastor, that one you were blocking getting to the altar, might have been one that was going to be appointed by God to do great things for the kingdom. But instead, you ran them away from the church. By your attitude. We cannot be so holy that we forget to be kind. We can't. We gotta love everybody. Even the smelly guy that comes in. Or the homeless guy that comes in. Or the homeless woman that comes in. Because you never know. She may be someone that's gonna work hard. Of the kingdom that's going to give her all to God. You don't know when you treat people the wrong way, they that you may be blocking your own blessing, that you may be blocking your own health and welfare, because you don't know God's plans for anyone. All we know is that we got to trust in him, that he is righteous in all his ways, and that he is gracious in all his ways. And as we go back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, it says, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Hell is a place of eternal suffering and restlessness, because its doomed souls are forever separated from God, the only one who could have made them whole. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord in Isaiah 48 and 22. There is no for the wicked, says the Lord, Isaiah 48 and 22. We want to have peace in our life. We want to have peace in our health. We want to have peace with God. We want to be covered by the blood. And as I go back now to Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And when we go to that word, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, the Psalm of David. And when we go in, it says, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. How should we respond when our situation seems dire, even hopeless? What should we do when God appears silent, even uninterested? Oftentimes, trusting God means looking beyond what we can to what God sees. And when we go into Habakkuk, disappointment, our inevitable discouragement is our choice. So I'm so disappointed, you know, this is from Dr. I was just sure that deal would come through. We had a lock on it, but a competitor edged us out at the last minute. She felt crushed. The whole weekend looked ruined. If only the basement hadn't flooded, she could have joined her friends for an unforgettable time of hiking and camping. Now she found herself stuck at home and alone, dealing with a faulty water pump and serious damage to her treasured possession. Everyone has known the ache of unfulfillment, the sadness that comes when life moves in an unanticipated direction. Disappointment may come as a result of a change in circumstances, such as a sudden reversal of plans, or it may be a more personal issue. If someone closely hides in a matter that lets you down, you may experience deep sensations of loss. If your disappointment comes as a result of a personal offense, as Sister Susie said, it is tempting to lash out at the one who has damaged our plans. The vision or idea you had cherished for so long now lies in ruins, and you don't know how to respond. Disappointment cuts so close to our sweetest dreams that we often find it difficult to sort through our swirling emotions. Disappointment afflicted even the hearts of those who knew Jesus. Years before Jesus died, even before he was born, someone disdained for a close relationship with Jesus faced unbelievable disappointment. The quiet carpenter lived a humble life and was betrothed to a young, godly woman named Mary. Like any Jewish man, he looked forward to the day when the one promised to him would become his wife. Then the news came. Imagine the emotions in Joseph's heart when he heard of Mary's pregnancy. He knew he was not responsible, and hard facts seemed to confirm that Mary must have been unfaithful. What a devastating blow to Joseph's expectations. He knew the social consequences. People would surely talk, but it wasn't the threat of wagging tongues that bothered Joseph the most. It was the pain of having to let Mary go. His vision of the future had shattered, and no option looked good. Matthew 1:19 gives insight into the heart of this man who pondered the course of action. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. If Joseph had been a hasty, rash, a self-centered individual, he could have loudly defended his own innocence at the expense of Mary's feelings. And honestly, we saw that happen once. I saw that happen once in the middle of a church service. Someone who had asked a young lady to marry him, and it was obvious that she was pregnant, started talking about how he was not the father and that, you know, he was going to do what he needed to do and all of this stuff, but he said it in front of the whole congregation. And you could see her joy turn to sadness. And all you could do was feel her pain. Needless to say, they did not get married. How could you do that? Because you were so busy trying to make people not think it was you. It wasn't me. And that was the second I was singing. It wasn't me. Did you do this or that? It wasn't me. And on the Cheetos commercial, it wasn't me. When you see all the Cheeto crumbs all over them. See all that orange Cheeto dust. But Joseph was not like that. If Joseph had been a hasty, rash, a self-centered individual, I say again, he could have loudly defended his own innocence at the expense of Mary's feelings. He could have let her reputation be ruined. In his love for her, however, he did not give personal disappointment the upper hand. Privately and quietly, he decided to break his engagement to Mary, but God soon changed his mind. Come on now. Did that angel come? Called Gabriel. Let's keep it moving. And it says the Lord sent a special messenger to confirm Mary's extraordinary words to Joseph. It was true. Mary really was going to give birth to the Messiah. Joseph did not need to doubt that these confusing events were a part of God's plan. He obeyed immediately and brought Mary home to live with him as a virgin until the birth of Jesus. You got folks in denominations who claim, well, you know, Mary stayed a virgin until she died. She had no more children. She did not have relations with Joseph. Can we say the big lie? That's a big lie. That's not what God's word says. That's not how the word of God goes. You can't have a baby and stay a virgin. That baby came through them virgin walls, and I'm sure there was a lot of pain because he had to go through a whole lot to get through that birth canal. He came out to purity. But Mary was married to Joseph, her husband, and they had marital relations, and they had sons and daughters. Why? Because the word of God says so. Because the word is pretty specific. And it would have said, and Joseph's wife, such and such, gave birth to James and Jude and his daughter. That's not what it says. That's not what the word tells us. And then it goes on to say, God has a unique plan for your life to one that does not change according to unexpected circumstances. When you confront a situation that does not line up with your understanding of how God wants your life to proceed, you must stop and look to him for direction. Sometimes God allows disappointments to occur so that you will learn to rely on him more fully, to walk by faith and not by sight. But never forget this, while disappointments are inevitable, discouragement is a choice. In the daily disappointments that threaten to consume your emotional resources and deflect your attention away from the Lord, you have real hope and a real choice for joy and abundant living in Christ. Circumstances do not control you. Jesus does. You never have to be the victim of your feelings. You can choose to look to God and listen, learn, move ahead. As you do, the withered and dead feeling places in your heart, the scars of old disappointments will melt away in God's restoring love. God does have blessings for you, more than you picture, and in ways that you cannot imagine. Let go of disappointment and the fear of hoping and trusting God. God holds your future in his hands, and you will never lose by looking forward or moving forward. He has in store for you. And that is our word for this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak on our conference call line, unmute your phone, say amen. And if there is anyone on Blog Talk Radio that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And if there is no one that would like to speak or has a word, we are about to wrap it up because I have a very, very busy day. If you are in the Springfield area, come join us at the Table of Life Ministry, where you will always find love, peace, and joy, and a word from the Lord. Our services start at 11 o'clock a.m. Today we will be having our Christmas program with our children. Please, if you are not busy, come to visit with us and support our children's ministry. And I am just so excited. They have blessed me in their practices. They are amazing. So I hope and pray that if you don't come to my church, wherever you may live in this world, find a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church and ask God this place for me and watch God answer you. Might be a tingle in your head, but he will always answer. Have a blessed day, family, and know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High and that he loves you. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, and watch God work in your life. For he loves you more than words can say. Never forget that this weekend is not about a jolly old elf in a red suit. It's about Christ, our Savior, who was born to a virgin named Mary, and the earthly father's name was Joseph, who trusted God and did not let anything stand in the way of what was right. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to get ready for church. I got a busy day. Have a great day, family. And for those that do not join me, we will be having a program in the morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. There will be a word going forth before all the Christmas gifts get open. We'll be here at 7 o'clock a.m. for words. Join me either Blog Talk Radio or at our conference call number. For those that do not know our number, it is 701-791-9959. So join us, either conference call or on Blog Talk Radio, calling number 213-943-3597 as we move forward in God's Word. Have a great day. I love you. I praise God for you. Be blessed. And remember, it's not about all the gifts you receive. It's about the gift of the child. His name was Jesus Christ. He was our Lord and Savior. No Christmas without that. Be blessed.